I want to ask you a question at the very beginning, before we go anywhere, and it's this. Do you enjoy being sick? Do you enjoy it when problems come?
No.
Do you enjoy it when it seems that everybody's against you?
No.
Well, the people of God were in a position in the Old Testament, the people of God, they were in a position where they never enjoyed anything that happened to them. They were in bondage, they were suffering, and they were treated as slaves. And yet, they cried out to God. It's important that we pray. When we're in need, it's important we pray. You know, we've heard it already this morning, and we heard it the other day. You know, we need to voice what we want from God. We need to offer our prayers and speak what the answers to our prayers, what we're actually asking God to do for us. So, on that note, shall we give thanks to the offering?
Give thanks for the offerings. Be prepared and make a volunteer whether you like it or not.
First of all, I'd like to bless all the brethren today for coming and welcome them into our church. I'd like to thank every one of them for providing our needs and what we want, not what we want. May this money be used for the upkeep of our church and what we need to help us to keep it going. I'd like to thank you for
praise Jesus, Father, thank you.
And the Holy Spirit,
who
guides us to use this money. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, so the people of God, they were in a situation which wasn't good for them. They didn't like it. They didn't like being slaves. They didn't like the way they were treated. And probably like a lot of us do, or perhaps we're like them. Very often we grumble, we complain, and we say, we moan, we say, this isn't right, this isn't fair, this isn't just, you know, they're treating me like this, and we take our complaints and our grumbles and our gripes to God. We say, God, you know, I thought you promised me something better than this. And we're all like that from time to time. Even if we don't voice it, maybe we think it. Well, in their bondage, in their distress, in their problem, in this place that they didn't like, God spoke and promised it. Actually, he didn't actually just promise them, he promised it to Abraham. Many years before, that he would visit them and bring them out. That was a promise from God. You know, God always intended for his people, and he intends it for us as well, that we come out of bondage into something better, into the promised land. You know, the scripture says this, and I want to read it to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to listen to these words in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Moses is recounting, he's rehearsing everything that had happened to the people of God. And he's rehearsing the story, how God brought them up out of Egypt, how he brought them through the Red Sea. And here in chapter 6, Verse 23, he says this. He says, then he brought us out from there. Talking about Egypt. The house of bondage. The place of their difficulty. The place of their problems. He brought us out from there. That he might bring us in. To give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. Listen to those words again. It says, he brought us out from there. That he might bring us in. God always intends for me and you, and you and me, and he always intends for his people to bring them in. To bring them out so that he can bring them in. He brought you out of sin so that he could bring you into something. It wasn't just so that we could have a nice time getting together week by week. We weren't saved just so that we could have church. You know, we were saved because God wanted us to bring us in. Bring us into where? Well, first and foremost, he wanted to bring us into his family. You know, I said this, I believe it was last week. You know, God sent Jesus because he wanted to have a relationship with us. You know, God's intention was ever only that he might have relationship. Now, because of that sacrifice, we have certain benefits. We have the benefits of our sins forgiven. We have the benefits of the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the benefits that we're under the new covenant. You remember that scripture we read last week? It said that God said, I will be their God and they will be my people. That's relationship. But God always intended to bring his people into something better. And you know the story. I haven't got time as well. I'd love to go through and just take you on a journey through with the people of God from Egypt through to Canaan's land. But you know what happened. God brought them out of Egypt by a mighty hand. You know, a mighty miracle. He brought them up out of Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea. And he led them through the wilderness. The intention of God was that his people would only stay in the wilderness for about 6 weeks. Just enough time to get them from Egypt into Canaan. Now they went via the mountain to receive the law. You know, there were things that needed to be done. But God's people came to the edge of Canaan's land. And you know what happened? Moses sent some spies into the land and told them to go and spy out this land. And 12 of them went into the land and 12 of them came back. They'd all seen the same things. They'd all seen, and let's not be mistaken, in this land that God had promised to bring them into, there were some problems. There were giants in the land. There were fortified cities. Now this wasn't just going to be an easy task going into the land. Yes, there were some battles that would need to be fought. Some victories that would need to be obtained. You know, and these 12 spies, they came back. 10 of them said, you know, there's just no way possible. We will never get into the land. There are giants in the land. The cities are fortified. There's this problem. There's that problem. And actually, let's just turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, because there is some beautiful verses in here. Numbers 13. There are some chapters in the book of Numbers I really like. Those of you that are red numbers will know what I mean. Some that can seem quite tedious as you're reading them, especially when you're just reading a list of names. Names and numbers. We're here in Numbers 13. At the end of the chapter, verse 28. Oh, let's start from verse 27. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." You know, here these 10 of these spies now are beginning to recount, and they're beginning to say, this is what it's like. And then in verse 32, or verse 31, it says the men who had gone up with him said, with Caleb, that is from verse 30, the men that had gone up with Caleb said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, the descendants of Anak come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." 10 of these spies, 10 of these men came back with this report that it's too difficult, it's too hard, there's giants, there's problems, there's difficulties, we will never overcome them. But what had God said previously? He wouldn't forsake them, he would be with them. And then two. Ah, I love these two men, Joshua and Caleb. You know, they had a heart, they had a spirit, which said, "Come on, guys, let's go. If God has said he'll bring us in, he will bring us in."
Amen.
You know, God always intended for his people to go into... Now, it took them a few years longer than they expected. Or they would... No, not they expected. A few years longer than they would have liked. You know, they should have gone in at that moment. They should have gone in and taken possession of that land as God had promised to give them. But they put it off. They said, "No, there are problems." Yeah, and I want to just deal with you very briefly this morning. I want to talk about a very dangerous word for the people of faith. A very dangerous word for you and me to ever utter from our lips. I want you to hear what I'm saying. This word is a very short word. But mark my words, it's a very dangerous word. And that word is this. It's the word but. But. B-U-T. But. What do I mean, a very dangerous word? Well, just look at what these men, these spies, had said. God had promised to bring them into this land. Caleb quieted the people, verse 30, before Moses, and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the other 10 spies, the men who'd gone with him, they said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They are strong cities. Can I paraphrase this for you this morning? They said, but the cities are fortified. But there are giants in the land. But the people are stronger than we are. You know, this word, but, will rob us of entering into the very best things that God has got for us. If God has said something and we say, yes, God, but. You know, I've heard this said to me previously, and it's quite a sad statement. Especially when you're praying for people or people ask for prayer. They come and say to your brother or sister, you know, can you pray for me? And can you pray? And you begin to talk to them, you find out what their problem is, and you say, well, what does the Word of God say about it? Because it's clear from the way they're talking, they don't know what God has already said. And you say, well, what does God say? And that you begin to give them the scripture, and you begin to tell them, and you rehearse to them. And they come back, yes, Pastor, I know that's what God says, but. You know, they will never receive anything from God with that attitude. I know what God says, but. You know, I preached this, a similar message to this some years ago. And at the start of the message, I told this story. Those of you from the UK will probably know this story very well, and maybe the local people here will know this as well, I don't know. But there was a story we grew up, we had it in school. It was a story that perhaps our mothers told us, and we learnt it and we heard it. And it is completely fictitious and it's fantasy. So don't believe it. There's a story about three goats. Do you know this story? And these three goats, one day were in a field, and they happened to look up, and they saw that in the next field, it was so much greener, so much more beautiful. The grass was better to graze on. These three goats decided amongst themselves that they would go to that better place. But there was a problem to get to that better place. They had to cross the river. And the only way across this river was across this little old bridge. And that would have been fine, that would have been good. That would have been easy. Except that underneath this bridge there lived an ugly old troll. And every time somebody tried to cross this bridge, this troll would get up onto the bridge and he'd eat them for his dinner. And these three goats, they decided that yes, they would make this effort to cross this bridge. The grass was so much better, and the attraction of the grass in the other field was greater than the problem they thought they would face on the bridge. And so they decided, and they crossed the bridge from the youngest to the eldest, three of them. And you know the story, how when the small one went across the bridge, the troll came up onto the bridge and he said he's going to eat this little goat for his dinner. And he said, no, 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 no. He said, I'm so small. I'm not very tasty. There's not a lot of meat on me. You know, I need to grow a little bit more. He said, then this little baby goat said to this troll, he says, look, he says, my brother's coming behind me. He's a bit bigger. And so the troll, okay, he says, and he let him go into the field. Then he'd seen that the little goat had got across, and he thought, well, if he can make it, I can make it. And as before, the troll jumped on the bridge and said he's going to eat him for his dinner. And he said, well, he says, he's a bit tough. Maybe, hey, my brother's coming behind me. And so the troll let him through. then finally this big old, what we call this big old billy goat. Maybe you could liken it to a ram. This tough old goat crossed the bridge. And when the troll came up under the bridge to eat him, he said, I'm going to eat you for my dinner. And this goat says to him, not likely. And he backed up a few steps, put his head down, and charged at the troll, and knocked the troll off the bridge. Now, why do I mention that story? Well, that's the attitude we need to take. We need to knock that devil off the bridge if we want to get into somewhere better. He will come and he will say, you know, there are giants in the land. He will tell you that there are problems where you're wanting to go. He will tell you that you're never ever going to recover from the disease that you've got. He will come and he will tell you that there's this, there's that, you've got this thing. You've got to endure it as a good soldier. You know, the devil will use scripture to get you off your course. He tried it with Jesus. And he didn't need to be like Jesus. You know what Jesus did? He put his head down and he knocked the devil out of the way with the word of God. You know, there's that scripture, I think Pastor quoted it last Sunday. A beautiful scripture in Revelation where it says that when he comes riding that white horse with his armies behind him, you know, there, that's you and me. It says, out of his mouth went a sharp sword with which he struck the nations. You know, just one word from the mouth of Jesus will put an end to all of the enemy's attacks. I don't know whether you've ever seen it, but this is, I'll just give this to you now. Go home and check this out. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when, you know where the disciples had gathered to pray, and Jesus, the night that Jesus is going to be arrested, he was praying. And Judas came with the chief priests, the leaders, and the scribes, and the lawyer. They came with this army to arrest Jesus. And I'm not quite sure which one of the gospel writers it is. I believe it's Matthew. But check it out. Check all of them. You'll see. It says that they came and they said, we are seeking Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am he. Three words. And with those three words, it says that the whole of the army were knocked down. Everyone that came against Jesus, they fell back. How much more when he comes at that great last day, where the word of God proceeds from his mouth, will he destroy the nations of the earth, those that come against him. You know, and we should do the same. Now, I said this word "but" is a dangerous word, because that's very often where we get ourselves into problems. When God says something, we say, yes God, but I know you promised me this, God, but. You know, with God, if you're writing notes, taking notes, make a note of this. This is an important saying. With God, there are no ifs, buts, amen, or maybes. Amen. Did you know that? With God, there are no ifs, no buts, no maybes. When God says something, he will do it. The scripture says this in Numbers, again in Numbers, another one from Numbers. Numbers 23 verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? You know, has God ever spoken something and not made it good? No, no. Has God ever promised something and not brought it to pass? No. You know, the Bible says this in the Psalms, in Psalm 89 verse 34, it says that, he says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter one thing that has gone forth from my mouth. Not one word will God change. Just because you don't like it, he's not going to change it. And believe me, there are some scriptures in here. Now I believe this is the word of God. This is God's word. I believe the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. But there are some scriptures that are tough. There are some scriptures that I wish weren't in here. There are some things God said that I wish he'd never said it. Why? Because it puts responsibility on me for certain things. And it means I've got to do something. We had it last week again. You know, the Bible tells us we've got to love. We've got to love. We've got to love our enemies. We've got to love those that don't like us. Now, it doesn't say we've got to like them, but we've got to love them. There are a lot of people I don't like.
Me too.
But I've still got to love them. You know, we've got to pray for those that spitefully use us, Jesus said. Those that curse us. Those that do all manner of things against us. We've got to pray for them. The things we've got to do. Now, I don't want to pray for them. Well, I don't mind praying like was it James and John? You know, call the fire of heaven down upon them. But we've got to pray for them. We've got to bless them. Because that's what Jesus... But we've got to do it. I've digressed a little bit. But talking about but. There are no ifs, buts, or maybes with God. You know, and these buts, when we put buts in the way, we prevent God from doing something for us. We prevent God from bringing us into that better place. God always intended for us to have something better. We're under the new covenant, which is built on better promises. Actual fact, the scripture says this. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And he says that all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. You know, all of the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yes, and in him, amen. That means they're yes in Jesus, and we can say amen to them. Which means, let it be. So be it. Not but. Amen. What does God promise? He promises to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we're not going to go to God and say, yes, God, I know you said this, but I don't want my sins forgiven. I want to stay in my sin. I want to stay... We just, when we get a promise like that, just say, amen, and receive forgiveness. Amen. Receive what God has promised. The buts will prevent us from receiving all that God has promised. Let me quickly give you a few examples of where we put a but. I've already said, I know what God's word says, but. Now, we might put it like this. Yes, I know God's word says that he's my healer. But my surgeon, my doctor said that there's no hope for me. Is that what God says? There's no hope? I wanted to give an offering to missions. I wanted to bless and give. But I can't afford it. I want to bring my tithe, but I just can't afford to do it. You know, we've heard this morning already. Look at what God gives us. You know, God gives us 90%. You know, God could ask for it all. We're blessed. We're blessed. He could say, and he has to some, give it all. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. We can't afford it. Do you know what, when we say but, But the doctor says, but I can't afford it, but I still got the pain. But do you know what it is? It's fear. Fear. Fear talking, says but. I want to work for God. I want to serve Him. I want to do my best, but what will my friends say? What will my family say? I want to be a Christian, but there's too much to give up. And these are all things that I've heard. I'm not sure some of you have heard the same things. Yeah, I would do that, but no. Buts are doubt and unbelief. Write this down. This comes from James 1, verse 6. It says here in James 1 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The buts are doubt and unbelief. Did you know if you doubt, you will go without? If you believe, you will receive. If you doubt, you will go without. If you believe, you will receive.
Amen.
I've got to close. Do you know how time quickly goes when you're up the front here?
I think we should have more than that. Amen?
Yeah.
Well,
Do you know the reason we say but? It's because, do you know what we're actually doing? We're bringing God's word down to our experience. I've still got the pain. That's why I can't believe what God says about healing. I haven't got enough money. That's why I can't give an offering. I can't give to missions. I can't support this one. I don't listen to what I'm saying. I don't trust God. That's why I can't believe His word. You know, that's what we say. Now, we might not say that with our mouths, but that's what we mean. That's our intention. When we say, I don't believe what God says, means I don't trust Him. I don't trust Him. Don't bring God's word down to the level of your experience. Actually, do the opposite. Raise your experience up to the level of the Word of God. Raise your faith to the level of God's Word, and your experience will match it. Whenever you hear or are tempted to say, but, like these men in Numbers that we read about, you know, but this, the cities are fortified. But there's a problem. But there's a difficulty. But there's a pain. But there's no money. But I've done that before. I've already tried that. Whenever you're tempted to say that, I want you to... I was going to say... Knock the devil off the bridge in Jesus' name. Like that old Billy Goat. Counter your buts with a but. Huh? Counter your buts with a but. What do I mean? Now, just don't get confused. Counter your buts with a but. Instead of saying, but I can't do that. But I don't believe. Silly. When the but comes, when you feel like you want to say, but God's word says.
Amen.
Amen. Twist it around. I know I've still got a pain, but God's word says He's my healer.
Amen.
I know I can't physically afford, I haven't got any money in the bank, but God's word says I prayed. Quite seriously. Because every expense we had. Took up all our money. I earned. And I went through a period of, I remember at least 6 months praying. And I felt so ashamed, I suppose is the right word, that we brought our offering and our tithe to God on the Sunday. But I felt so ashamed that I wasn't in a position, I didn't have any spare cash, anything to be able to bring another offering. So if somebody was in need or they did a special offering in the church and, you know, they wanted to bless somebody, I couldn't give. I didn't have any spare change. Physically, I got to the stage where I used to be like, I used to say that I was royal. Didn't carry money. But I prayed and this troubled me that I wasn't in a position to be able to, I couldn't even just give God a pound. I couldn't give anything. And I prayed, God, give me something to give. You know, just give me a little extra so I've got something to give. So I can be a giver. Over and above my, talk about over and above my tithe. You know, I prayed that prayer for a little while, but, and God soon began to bless. And now I thank God that I can look back on that and say, yes, God brought me through. God provided the need. I was able to give. You know, it gives me a great blessing to be able to give. But counter your buts with a but. Yes, I haven't got this, but God's word says. God has promised. You know, my family don't know Jesus yet, but God's word says. God has given me a promise. You know, if you want to get into that better place that God's promised you. And God's given us many promises. Many. Here. Many promises. God's given them to us. Trust Him. You know, God's word says, don't move from this word. Because, I think I said this on the Sunday night, last week, maybe, or the week before. You know, God's word will see us home. It will take us to where we need to be if we can trust Him. We trust it. Trust God, trust His word. It's true. It's infallible. And those buts, get them off the bridge.
Butt them off the bridge.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, use the butt. That's the word we use in English, isn't it? Yeah. For the goat to butt. Knock it off the bridge. Amen.
Amen. Let's give a hand to God.